Okay, we've got 2 hours now of Friday the 13th into Saturday morning open lines. But I'm going to open up a good luck, bad luck hotline just on whatever happened to you on Friday the 13th. Was it good? Was it bad? That special number for you is 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. Get ready. You know what I wish I had done when I was 11 years old back 1961 and Aurora was coming out with those incredible monster models? Remember those plastic ones, those of you old enough? I wish, and I had many of them, but I threw them away eventually. I wish that I had bought a brand new model for each monster that came out and just put it away. Simply put it away. Because I just said there's a hobbyist selling one for $1,200. He's got the whole series of them, and he's got them made, and he's got them on a little, plywood board. $1,200. I think they were like $5 or $6 a piece then, back in 61. But you remember the ones they were? Frankenstein, the Wolfman, Dracula, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They came later. Mummy, the creature of the Black Lagoon from the Black Lagoon and the Phantom of the Opera. I think that was it. I'm not sure if they had any more than that. Maybe the Addams Family came much later as well. But, man, they were classics. I wish I had bought them all. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to our wild card line. First of all, you are on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Dave from Fremont.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, I got a big problem. It's been going on for 2 years. It's driving me crazy. My wife finally talked me into calling you about this. But about 2 years ago, this started. I'd go to bed at night. I'd close my eyes for 15, 20 minutes. Then I would start seeing these green rings, kind of hazy looking, and they'd come from behind me and move away from me towards the front. And they were constant, you know, like kind of like a strobe.
Yeah.
And it would get me to wake up, you know, open my eyes and blink and everything else because it was giving me a headache. Well, this went on for several months. But then these green rings started filling in with the color green until it got to a point where everything was solid, solid green. Then I started seeing faces of people passing through this green haze. They were the same color as the haze, but, you know, like, it was really bizarre. But they would pass me by, or I was passing through them, and they were totally ignoring me. Then after several months, they started to look over towards me. And some of them would try to stop and talk to me, but it's like they were whooshed by, okay? Well, one night I was doing this, and this woman, full-figured woman, you know, I could see her legs, her face, everything. And she was in front of me. She looked at me, and she said, "You can see me." That's the first time I ever heard anybody, okay?
And was she asking you that almost like she was surprised,
yeah,
or was
like
she making a statement?
Like she was surprised. She looked at me with a surprised look. "You can see me." And I just, you know, it surprised me, and I, you know, popped up out of bed. Well, after a while, I was going through this stuff, and I was getting used to it, and I was just thinking, it's kind of cool, you know, that this is going on. And all of a sudden, I found myself on the shore of a lake. Everything went to color. I could hear the breeze going through the leaves. I could hear the leaves. I can smell the water. I could feel the breeze on my face, everything else. But I couldn't look around. All I could do was just move my eyes from left to right, up and down. You know, I couldn't move. And then that woke me up. That, you know, I jumped up in bed, you know, wondering what the heck was going on.
Again, it was in a dream state?
No, it wasn't. I wasn't a dream. I was aware of everything that was going on around me. I could hear my dog next to me snoring. And at the same time.
In real time, you mean?
In real time.
Okay.
Now, later on down the road, last week, this one happened. I was doing the same thing. I got into the green, and at the end of the green, I could see this real little baby blue dot. So I kept my eyes on it, you know, trying to focus on it, and the dot started getting bigger. Then I had like a baby blue hazy wall in front of me with a door. There was no doorknob on this door. It was just the door. And next thing you know, I found myself in a house. And I was standing in a hallway, and I could look down the hall. I could see old doors. There was two doors on my left, one straight down the hall in front of me, wood floors. There was a dresser I could see down the hall, and it was a new one. There was a wooden handrail to my right, and I could hear people downstairs talking, and I could smell cooking in the house. Well, a woman came out of the door to my left, and she was looking down at the floor. Then she looked up and looked at me, screamed, and ran. And that's when I got up again. Man.
You are going into somehow another dimension. I'm convinced.
I have no clue. That's what I want to find out. But last night, I did it again. This time, I found a young girl.
Are you doing this at will, or does it just happen?
It just happens, and I don't have no control over it, and it's starting to freak me out. I've gone to the doctor.
Well, I was going to say that first. It's always nice to get checked out.
Yeah, I went to the doctor, told him about it, and he did a CT scan, and they found absolutely nothing wrong. They even put these little electrodes on my head, checked that out. They found nothing wrong there.
What does your wife say about this besides call us, of course?
My wife thinks it's neat. But
really?
Yeah, she thinks it's neat. It's kind of freaky. I'm getting to the point where it's not so neat. You know, it's just starting to bother me now.
Yeah, it's starting to get... I think, David, and again, I don't know exactly what's going on with you, but I think somehow you are either having some incredible visions or you have tapped into, I think, another dimension. And the fact that they are now seeing you, which happens sometimes, they're just as shocked as you are. I mean, you're the uninvited guest, I think. And that is one strange story, and pretty detailed as well. We'll see if anybody calls and checks in with us with those kinds of stories. Let's go to the Friday the 13th line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome to the program. Where are you calling from?
My name's Rihanna, and I'm calling from Hemet, California.
Okay, go ahead, Rihanna.
My boyfriend and I broke up today after 2 years.
Well, that's bad luck, or is it good luck?
I'm not quite sure right now. I did the breaking up, so I guess I got to stick to it.
After 2 years. Now, it had to have been building to a crescendo here, right?
Yeah, it's just he's in a band, and he's gone a lot, and we live in different cities, and it's just time constraints and things like that, and it just finally took its toll. I think we just need some time apart, but yeah. It was just the perfect day for it to happen.
Friday the 13th, and you're still friends, I take it.
Well, we were friends for 10 years before we started dating, so I hope we can still be friends regardless of what happens.
Do you think you could date a friend?
I kind of think it's good policy, because you're friends with them anyway. It's always good to be friends with someone you date.
But I've heard so many couples break up. They were once friends or roommates, and then all of a sudden, you know, one thing led to another, and they got involved, and they, you know, either got married or they stayed dating. But I don't hear many success stories with that.
Well, I think maybe some people, they're friends, and then when it goes into a romantic kind of situation, they kind of forget the friendship and just focus on the romantic thing instead of trying to remain friends also.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. But yet some of the better relationships seem to be non-friend relationships. So, Wayne, let's go to our next wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Go ahead.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm pretty good, actually. I just wanted to call. I'm just wondering, you've heard of William Cooper?
The late William Cooper, yeah.
Yes, sorry to... have you read any... how many books has he put out? Do you know by any chance?
Well, the main one I know about was Behold the Pale Horse.
Right.
Was his big one.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, what are your thoughts? Did you read that? You read that, I would assume?
Yep, sure did.
What were your thoughts on that?
I think it was brilliant, and I think he was a visionary. And but I know people who have known him from conferences, and when he used to drink, he was absolutely out of control.
Yeah.
I think that may have contributed to his demise with law enforcement, which is unfortunate, because I would have loved to have had an opportunity to interview him on this program.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought he was brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. I was just wondering. I read that book. It's so, like, insane, for lack of a better word. But, like, I feel like all the stuff that I see coming to a head, like, soon, it seems, it could really happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from the Northeast in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
What's that?
You know, what can I say? Cooper got himself into a bad situation.
Yeah, because I read that book. I just wanted to let you know, though, that I listen to your show a lot. I'm actually in a jail, but I'm on a program where I can get out.
You're in a jail? You mean right now you're in a jail?
Yeah, well, I'm not actually in a jail right at this moment.
Okay.
But like I'm on a program where I work, and I get out, and I usually work later. But when I get to listen to your show, it definitely helps my time go by, because I can never sleep at night.
Well, how long are you going to be in this program?
Hopefully I'll be out completely pretty soon. I don't want to get specific, because I could get in some kind of trouble for talking.
Well, we don't want that to happen, do you, at all? Okay, and you don't want to tell us what happened, why you're in there?
I actually just got, like, I got in a confrontation with about, I don't know, it was probably like 30 people, and I went to defend myself being drunk, and then...
Ah.
And when I didn't actually get anybody, I got in trouble because after like the going to defend myself, I ran after, like, nobody actually touched me. I didn't touch anybody, but I chased the guy that made it, like, so I couldn't even claim self-defense at that point. That's where
I see. Okay. Well, hey, so you got to watch that booze, my friend.
Yeah, you know it.
It'll do it to you. Okay. Appreciate you being part of the program as well. Let's go next to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
How are you? Where are you, east of the Rockies?
Clinton Township, Michigan.
I know it well.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I used to hang around that area all the time.
Well, then you've been in, like, trouble, huh?
Nah, not me.
George, I love you.
That was a good
My wife kid. Hates you, but
Why?
I love you.
Why does she hate me?
I'm laid off or whatever, so...
Uh-huh.
I'm laid off, so I listen to you guys' show.
Well, you tell her what we're doing is we're gearing you to develop your career, and you're going to explode into the world of economics one day, and it'll be because of Coast to Coast, and then she'll be happy.
Right. That's what I try to say. Right, you're right. That's, you know what? You're a better talker than me.
Put her on. We'll convince her.
Oh, she's sleeping.
All right. No, don't wake her up then.
Yeah. But what I wanted to ask you was because the last time I talked or whatever was because you had the guy on there, like the show, as far as...
Who? Looks like his wife must have woken up. And he hung up quickly. First time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Hi.
Hey, George?
Yes?
My name is George. I'm calling from Concord, North Carolina.
Yeah, George. What's up?
And I wanted to tell you I have a demon / shadow person story for you.
Okay.
This happened, I'm 24 now, and this happened back when I was I was a sophomore in high school, and, it was like a Saturday afternoon. I was at home talking with a friend of mine on the telephone, and, I was in my bedroom, and I turned toward my window as I was talking to my friend on the phone, and I saw this head, like, looking in through my window at me.
Oh, I hate that.
And it looked like what I hear on your show oftentimes about, like a shadow person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, in mid-sentence talking to my friend, and I just stopped. And my friend noticed that I had stopped, and he was like, "What's wrong?" Like, "I see something." And as soon as I started to tell him that, this thing, like, jumped down from my window, and I saw it run across my backyard, and it ran up a tree and hid behind some branches. And I told my friend, and he was a bookworm and had read a whole bunch of books, and he's like, dude, that sounds like a demon.
Cause did you see the eyes?
No, I didn't see any eyes, but he said he had read a bunch of books about, like, demonology, and we had just happened to be talking about religion at the time, and nothing real specific, just like general stuff. And he was like, dude, that sounds like that was a demon trying to, like, listen in on our conversation. And I'm like, well,
why would a demon want to listen in on your conversation? What were you guys talking about?
I don't know. It was just like general, like, religion stuff. Like, he was just asking me, like, well, what do you think about this religion, that religion, whatever? And I don't know. It's just, I thought it was really strange.
Well, but sometimes these demons do want to interject themselves into your life. But had you seen the eyes? If the eyes were red, I would have said, yep, it was a demon. What it was, I do not know. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you? This is Bob from Oak Park, Illinois.
Yeah, Bob. Hi.
George, do you know Pete Standing? He's an investigator. He's investigating Bigfoot. He was out.
I have heard of him. I do not know him, though.
Okay. I wanted to find out if you know anything about the about him and the Patterson case. Is it the Patterson case where where the woman was disguised as Bigfoot?
It was a Patterson case where some are saying that it was a hoax.
Okay, because isn't that the one where they took a photo of Bigfoot crossing the?
Yeah, it was like a movie.
Right. Okay. Well, they interviewed that woman on television some time ago, and she claimed this is the wife of Patterson. She claimed she was in that suit.
Yeah.
And that she wouldn't do it anymore because she was afraid that someone would shoot her. And anyway, I just don't understand why Art Bell had Pete Standing. I believe that's his name, Pete Standing. And he insists that he will not tranquilize Bigfoot or this Yeti that he has seen. And he also claims that he's found the domicile of Bigfoot. And I just don't understand why, after all these years of people citing Bigfoot, no one has ever tried to tranquilize him, to shoot him with a tranquilizing gun. And I don't know, what's your thoughts on that, George?
Well, first of all, they're so elusive. Some of the people who go out to investigate Bigfoot sightings, I think they probably do bring tranquilizer guns and guns. And I just think they've been very unsuccessful in finding Bigfoot. And, it's for them, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. I think they're ready, but they just can't find them. I do believe that there is some kind of creature out there roaming this country, a small herd of them. The estimate has been 2,000. This is a big country. That's very possible that they're out there somewhere in the woods and forests. We'll continue with open lines throughout this night, plus the Friday the 13th good luck, bad luck line, which is 818-817-0021. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Well, you know, the Patterson film was shot in 1967 in Bluff Creek, California, showing the large man-like creature striding through a clearing, and some believe it indeed was a hoax. As a matter of fact, they say they had a full confession from a man who wore the costume. Costume wasn't worn by a woman, but it was made by a husband and wife team, apparently, if it is indeed a hoax. Time to say hello, by the way, to all of you listening across North America on your favorite radio stations, the millions of you. Hello there. And Streamlink members, Coast Writers, XM Satellite members, and then the various chat rooms all around the country, the ones that just sit back and enjoy life. NighthawkZone.com, folks, Imaginative Worlds, the Frog Forum, Into Infinity, Sorcery IRC, the Yahoo Chats, the MySpace Group, the National Radio Club, and so many more. Thanks for making Coast to Coast AM the number one rated program at night in North America. Okay, to the phones we go. Let's go to our Friday to the 13th line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was just telling your answerer, your screener, that I'm a first-time caller, and about 8 years ago, I was going through the Texas Panhandle, and there were warnings of tornadoes. And it was very early morning, and it was Art Bell. And as I was passing the hugest cross I've ever seen in my entire life, he was talking about a well that the Russians dug in the late 50s in Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one they did there was to lower a microphone down, and I heard Dante's Inferno. And so today I'm sitting in Murphy's, California. I'm going to open up trout season like my parents and I have done for many years, and they both passed several years ago. And I'm thinking about a concept called event horizon. The physics term, you know what I'm talking about? Like you're on one side of a black hole and I'm on the other. And
right.
There's no way we're going to know each other until we look in each other's eyes. And I heard on NPR, 6 months ago now, that if I live 17 more years, I'll be 72, that 2025 is event horizon. So everything you're talking about, if you just hang out 17 years, we got it.
It's a done deal.
But the thing is today that really got me going was the whole IMUS thing with the terrible N-word that I protested and then went into the Navy to defend somebody's right to say it. I was on the USS Mount Whitney command ship for the Atlantic Fleet. We have a presidential stateroom. I happened to see a UFO one night out in the middle of the Pacific, and I told Senior Chief Mason I was Operations Specialist Second Class, and he came up and said, "You and your lookouts didn't see." I said, "Yes, excuse me, oops."
And let me tell you something. There's no place for that on the radio as well. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George?
Yes.
Good morning. First thing I got to ask you is, do you have a Route 66 sign in your cave?
I do not have a Route 66.
No. Okay. Thought maybe you did since you're old school like me. I'm from Clinton Township, Michigan. I know exactly where Dearborn is. I was wondering what you thought of all the underwater volcanoes. I don't remember in history, of course, I never watched a lot of news, but doesn't it seem like there's been a lot lately?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I just was talking with Robert Felix this week, who wrote the book Not by Fire But by Ice, who believes we're in the beginning stages of an ice age, and he thinks a lot of this has to do with volcanoes in the ocean. And he thinks they're heating up the currents, and that's causing most of this problem we're having right now.
Okay, and for air pollution, I think above ground volcanoes have a lot to contribute.
Yeah, I think so. We don't have that many active ones spewing right now. I mean, we've got active volcanoes, but they're not popping. But yes, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
When they do go, they can create all kinds of havoc. Let's go to our, first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, welcome to the program.
Yeah, my name is Simon. I'm calling from Washington State.
Hi, Simon.
Hey, I'd like to talk a little bit about that 2012. I've heard lots of people, you know, anticipating this date, December 21st. But I was watching a thing on the History Channel. I don't know if you're familiar with it, about Dionysus and the calendar, and he was off 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that would put us in 2012 right now.
Some people think that. You're absolutely right. I talked to a couple experts on 2012. They're going to hold out for that year. But you are right. I mean, it could be starting right now.
I mean, that, you know, because I live up here in Washington, and in the past couple of years, you know, myself, I drive truck at night, by the way.
There you are. Okay.
You know, I see a lot of lights up this way within the past, like, couple of years, you know, and it just seems like these flaps are getting, you know, more and more frequent as, especially this year, as we draw towards December again.
It is uncanny how solar cycle change, earth changes are all happening as we get close to this date.
Yeah, it sure is.
I've changed my tune on the Mayan calendar where 5 years ago I thought it was just a moment of enlightenment. Uh-huh. I think they knew about celestial events, and I think we're going to have one right around that period.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you for talking to you.
All right. You drive carefully. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Good morning. You're on Coast to Coast.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi. My name is Shraddha, and I'm in Redondo Beach, California.
Now, that's a different name. Shraddha. Huh?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's a spiritual name that I changed to about 25 years ago.
Oh, you did? Okay. How did you take it? Why?
Well, it's the main reason I'm calling you is to let you and your audience know that the Maitreya is here in Redondo Beach, California.
What do you mean he's there? You mean like at a conference or just there?
He's here. He's the Maitreya. He's not what people think. He'll shatter all illusions of what he's supposed to be. And we tried to tell Benjamin Krem's people that a few times, but he doesn't want to have anything to do with that because he'd be out of a job if he knew the Maitreya was actually alive and well and here.
Yeah, well, he believes the Maitreya's in London somewhere, right?
Yeah, some kind of ghostly figure. But this is a real man. He was an ordinary man that's had extraordinary experiences, and he was awakened by God twice, once when he was only 8 years old, and he died and left this world and was given a choice by God whether to stay in perfect union with him or to come back and teach people. And he was overcome by compassion when he saw all the suffering in the world, and he agreed to come back. But God said that he would have to basically forget everything that happened to him, that happened just by grace, and he would have to work his way back to that experience again through his own works. Which
now, tell me about this Maitreya, though, this person, this man. How old
that's
is
what,
he?
That's what I'm telling you about, is his experience, how he became
Maitreya. Well, how old? I want to know who he is. How old is he?
Well, in 1977, he had his second experience where he attained union with God by his own works, and that's when it was all revealed to him that he would be called Maitreya, the friend of all souls.
Well, how old is he, though? How old is his physical
body? I don't know why that's so important, but he's about
Because I'm asking you. How old is he?
Okay, 64 years old now.
64?
Yeah, his first experience was when he was 8, and his second experience was in 1977. I'm not good with numbers, but
all right, now some people believe the Maitreya is the Antichrist. I assume you do not believe that.
No, that's very sick and distorted thinking. That's very wrong.
All right. Now, what is he doing out there?
He's trying to get the message out to people, but they have so many preconceived ideas, they'll just tell him to his face, no, you can't be that. Just like what always happens in history, like they deny Jesus and everything else.
Can you get him on this program?
Yes, I've been trying to get him on your program for years. It's the first time I actually got to talk to you. So,
well,
yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, you're the first time. You want my email address and you can send me? Oh, Tommy says he's got your information,
emailed
right?
I've emailed you several times, but I'll try again.
No, I've never seen an email from you about the Maitreya. I'm going to put you on hold. Tom will get your information, and we will get a hold of you. Tommy, take it away, and we will find out exactly who this individual is. Maybe we can get Benjamin Krem on with him. You never know. Let's go to our Friday the 13th line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Good morning.
Hi, George?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, my name is Roberto. I'm calling from the city of Industry, California.
Yeah, Roberto.
And I was up on my roof putting up a satellite dish, and I guess the ladder decided to give way, and I took a header off the ladder.
Oh, how high up were you?
I was up on a single-story roof, so about 10 feet, I guess.
Yeah, it's still a pretty good plunge.
Yeah, and I landed standing basically straight up, and all my weight shattered my kneecap and tore my ACL.
Ouch.
Yeah, and I was like, they took me to the hospital, and they say, what are you doing on the roof anyway? It's Friday the 13th. I didn't even realize the date of it until, I was in the hospital. And you should learn your lesson. You shouldn't be up doing stuff like that on Friday the 13th.
Bad luck day for you.
Yep, yes it was.
How are you doing now?
I'm okay. I'm just laying around listening to your radio show.
All right, well, hey, that's if you're going to convalesce, that's the thing to do.
Yes, it is.
All right. Thanks, Roberto, and heal quickly. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, this is Paul in Coldwater, Michigan, listening to you on XM 165.
Hello, Paul.
Oh, how you doing, George?
Good, thanks.
Hey, I have a curiosity question for you. I hope that you can answer it. I was really hoping to get the question in while Linda Moulton Howe was on the air, but here's a question for you. In the areas in which the honeybees are more or less just disappearing, where they're not being found dead.
At least 22 states now.
Yeah, but in the areas where they just seem to turn up missing, what I'm curious about is whether or not anybody in those areas has reported an increase in the population of bee-eater birds.
I have not heard that at all. And another thing I'm beginning to question is the apparent disappearance of the honeybee, I mean of the hummingbird.
Okay.
I'm beginning to hear that as well. Now, you know, I've never seen a lot of hummingbirds in my life anyway. When you do, they're kind of neat to watch. But a lot of people are saying that there really is an absence of that bird as well.
Of the bee-eater bird? Or
no,
hummingbird?
No, the hummingbird.
Oh, okay.
So something's happening to the hummingbird.
Yeah, I was going to say, back about 8 years ago, I saw a documentary on either the Learning Channel or the Discovery Channel. I'm not sure which it was. And they had a segment on there about this particular species of bird called the bee-eater bird. And it's named that for good reason, because it feeds almost entirely on birds. And I thought, well, I don't think bees would just simply disappear, but I could see where it would look like they were disappearing if they were being eaten by something. So I started putting two and two together, and I'm curious whether or not that might be a contributing factor as to what's going on.
All right. Do you know the formal name of this bird?
It's actually called the bee-eater bird.
E-A-T-E-R.
It's, the word bee, the word eater, and the word bird. I'm sure if you were to just put in the general search term,
okay. Well, here you
like
go.
On the, Google or something
here
like
we
that.
Are. Well, listen to this. The bee-eater is one of 24 species of birds whose diet consists of bees, wasps, and other insects. Common to tropical regions, they have slim bodies with curved beaks. And African bee-eaters are brilliant green or blue. We don't seem to have a lot of these here in the United States.
Okay, so that wouldn't be a contributing factor over here, but what about some of the other countries?
Well, probably not. I mean, I would guess that if, you're talking about millions and millions of bees, and a lot of them now are being found dead in their hives.
Yeah, some of them are, but like Linda pointed out earlier, there are still some cases where they just seem to disappear and the honey's there and everything.
I think this has been human intervention, either accidentally or on purpose, but we've screwed something up with something. Some chemical, some genetically modified crop, something is affecting these bees.
Well, could I throw something else at you?
Absolutely.
Okay, it might be kind of a far stretch, but I thought maybe if some of the scientists are more or less genetically modifying the crops where they produce more or less Terminator seeds, is it possible someone's been genetically modifying the bees so that, they basically give birth and then that's it? That, that they don't give birth again, kind of like a Terminator gene.
Good point. You know, I'm telling you, this is a Hollywood movie. Somebody's going to come out with a blockbuster on this. Probably it'll be made for television, but you never know. Could be a big screen film, too. My guess, my intuitive brain tells me mankind has done this. I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but I just think that we have created some ecological disaster and something's gone awry. You remember years ago when you were a kid, you watched the movie The Ants about the nuclear bombs that would go off and the testing, and the ants became just gigantic. I'm not talking about 5 or 10 inch ants. I'm talking about 50 feet ants. What a great movie that was. It was in black and white. If you've never seen it, track it down. Those old movies were cool. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello, this is Jake from East Tennessee.
Hey, Jake.
Hey, I was listening to you about a week and a half ago on the about the Coral Castle.
Yeah.
And Ed. I had never heard of Coral Castle before, and I'm fascinated with Stonehenge and the pyramids, and I got to looking online, and there's a website called The Forgotten Technology. I can't remember the man's name, but he is actually rebuilding Stonehenge using nothing but concrete and counterweights and rocks as fulcrums. And he is doing all this with no pulley system, no anything. And you can get online and actually watch clips of this, and you can pay $15, and he'll send you an hour and a half long DVD where he actually moves an entire 20-ton barn by himself.
And what's your take? How's he moving it?
He is actually setting up. He finds the middle point, the balance point, and he sets up two fulcrums on each side. Maybe as far as the concrete goes, it's like 6 inches away from center. And he sets his counterweight on top of the actual concrete and uses that to balance on one of the fulcrums. And every time he turns it, it gets six inches farther away from where it was. And it takes him no time to move this 10-ton concrete slab about 6 feet. It's fascinating. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I really would. I think in Ed Leeds Skaldin's case, Coral Castle, he found out some kind of secret with magnetics. And like I said earlier this week, I've got his little tiny pamphlet book called Magnetic Current, and I think the secret is in there somehow. I'm going to read the whole thing so I can try to understand it, and then I'm going to give it to Richard C. Hoagland and have him try to decipher it for all of us, because I think there's a great story there. But this balancing is pretty fascinating as well. We'll be back in a moment. Another hour to go of Open Lines this Friday the 13th and the Saturday morning with the Good Luck Bad Luck line, which is 818-817-0021.